This is Ozarks at Large. Matthew Hartz is one of the best fiddlers alive. Seriously, he has the credentials to back that up. He won the 1988 World Fiddle Championship in Crockett, Texas. He's also been named Grand National Fiddle Champion twice, and three times he's been awarded the Grand Masters Fiddle Championship in Nashville. You can hear Matthew playing the fiddle here in this version of Wayfaring Stranger, recorded for the PBS documentary Idaho Rhapsody. This month, Matthew Hartz will spend some time in Northwest Arkansas. On the 22nd, that's a Saturday, he'll offer a fiddle workshop at the Good Folk House on Block Street in Fayetteville in the afternoon, then perform that night at 8. He'll also make appearances in Central Arkansas that week. This week, we reached him at his home in Boise to ask him about his fiddling, the nuances of competitive fiddling, and how Skype can make teaching music easier. As part of his workshops, he says he'll offer instruction in fiddle breakdown methods. Breakdown, he explains, is just about the same as hoedown.
Northerners up here in my neck of the woods, and actually this, since the Northwest was the last part of the country to be settled, we really kind of, but that it usually in the North they're referred to as hoedowns, and a hoedown is usually a two-part tune that stems from usually a tune from the British Isles, like a hornpipe or a reel, that people can square dance to, and it refers literally to when you would harvest each fall and put the hoe down and have a party, and a fiddle player would come and play a square dance. Now, when the settlers were immigrating west, you know, everybody was manifest destiny heading out here on the Oregon Trail. When they had their wagon trains and somebody would bust a wheel, they would the whole wagon train would stop, and they would stop to fix the wagon, and they'd stop for the evening, and they'd have a breakdown. And so the terms of, it's a two-part fiddle tune. Some of these breakdowns or hoedowns, whatever you want to call them, have been have evolved a little bit, but most of the music, like I say, comes from the British Isles, from British and Scottish fiddle music. Hit the Eastern Seaboard, and then, you know, it basically entered into the Appalachians and the Ozarks and in the Southeast, and then on down into Texas, and in every little place it went, because of the times, it picked up different characteristics, but structurally they remained the same.
When you're discussing or leading a class or a session in fiddle, how much is it important that you're listening if you're a student, and how much is it important that you're watching?
Well, listening, using your ears, is very important. Watching, and it can be done simultaneously. As a matter of fact, I encourage everybody that has a video camera that will be coming to any of the workshops or the classes to bring something like that, because if they have... I did a series of instructional videos several years ago that I'm getting in the process of reissuing them. As a matter of fact, I just reissued an old-time fiddle album I made in 1988 with a full-blooded Choctaw Indian named Orville Burns, and it just came out, and I'll have those down there in Arkansas with me. But the watching having the video is neat, because then they can, as I'm explaining bowing techniques, and there's no real right way to bow, but there are some wrong ways to bow, and you don't want somebody playing up on the downbeat for a considerable amount of time. It's kind of like a cat trying to fight their way out of a wet paper sack.
So if you can do it by video instruction, is teaching fiddle Could it be done by like Skype or something like that?
I do that.
Really?
I have one scheduled at 1:30 this afternoon with the gal from Montana, and I have Skypes. I have a iChat and Gmail accounts with. I have students in New Mexico, Minnesota, Nevada, and it's growing and growing.
Wow. So, gosh, that's got to be a boon. You don't have to go face-to-face. You can just be in your studio or your living room.
And as the technology gets better and better, you know, it's really incredible. You can reach a lot of people this way. And I have a few private students here in Idaho, but most of my time is spent traveling with I have a band that actually it's we do everything from rock, country, jazz, pop, Middle Eastern styles of music. We're a real variety show, and we incorporate the fiddle, but more in a blues setting. So most of my weekends are spent either touring that, or going and doing workshops like we're doing in Arkansas. And I'm actually flying out to Denver tonight to judge the Colorado Old Time Fiddlers Contest this weekend. So,
well, as a teacher, instructor, someone you offer techniques, you offer help. When you were in your competitive fiddling phase of your career, would you keep things close to the vest, technique and style?
Oh no. I was always very free with it, and I believe there's a lot of insecure people out there. As a matter of fact, I don't like to name names, but I had a fellow contestant of mine, and I had been working with a group of really talented young kids that were really coming up, and we're talking maybe 15, 16, 17, maybe even 20 years ago. They were really getting good, and I was giving freely of all the information that I had gleaned, because I was not threatened by that, and I wanted to share the information that I had, and I was being paid for my services. And I had a cohort of mine come up to me and say, "Why are you giving them all this information? Why don't you make them do it the way we had to do it?" And I said, "Well, because I'm not selfish."
And that pretty much ends the argument, I imagine.
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to win all those titles. However, I don't consider myself to be the greatest fiddle player in the world. There are a lot of great, great fiddle players, people that I absolutely adore and know from, you know, in other genres too, you know, in the bluegrass world and in the jazz world and of course the old time fiddle music world, I appreciate it all, and I play all those styles too, so.
I get the feeling, because it sounds like you have such a wide variety of interests and influences in music. I get the feeling that whether it's on stage or just by yourself, you like to see what songs can and can't adapt to the fiddle.
Yeah, there's really nothing you can't adapt to any instrument. I play the piano, I play the guitar, I play all the stringed instruments, the mandolin, I'm more of a guitar player, actually, than I am a fiddle player, to be honest with you. In the band, I can integrate it into, take for instance, I don't know if you're familiar with Stevie Ray Vaughan's Pride and Joy.
Mm-hmm.
We do that in the band, and the blues rock fiddle just goes great with that, you know. And there's a lot of other examples where I can integrate it, but of course in the jazz stuff that we do and even the other pop type stuff.
Matthew Hartz is a world champion fiddler. He'll be in Fayetteville later this month. On Saturday, the 22nd, he'll hold a fiddle workshop at Good Folk on Block Street in Fayetteville in the afternoon. then perform a show that night at 8 at the same location. He'll also be conducting workshops and performing in Central Arkansas that week. For more information and to see a full schedule of his Arkansas visit, you can go to fiddlinarkansas.blogspot.com. That's fiddlin, without a G, .arkansas.blogspot.com. For more about Matthew Hartz and his band, you can go to his Facebook page. And you can hear more from our conversation, including why the Beach Boys, the Ramones, and Green Day are major influences on Matthew. You can hear that right now at OzarksAtLarge.com.